For all that you've done, I will thank you. Let's sing together. For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised, and all that you are, is all that has carried me through. But Jesus, I thank you. And I thank you, thank you, Lord. And I thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. Now I thank you, Jesus, I thank you, gratefully thank you, thank you, all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised, and all that you are, is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. And I thank you. Thank you, Lord, and I thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. Now I thank Jesus, I thank you, gratefully thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, and thank you, Adam, in the theme of that. But really great to have you with us this morning. Good morning, and a huge welcome wherever you are, whether you're on video, you're watching us live, or on the phones. It's great to have you with us today. And just that opening video and that song which we've begun our time together with, it just makes that statement. There's lots and lots, isn't there, to thank God for. So much to thank God for. Even, in fact, in the midst of the darkness and the pain and the difficulties, both as a world and as a nation, as well as individuals. And especially this week, as we've crossed that tragic 100,000 deaths due to this horrible virus. You know, even in the midst of this hard and really painful time, we can, and I believe we must, praise God, keep our eyes fixed on Him, and thank Him, and give Him thanks. And so, as we begin our service, and as we pray, I just want to open with a few words from Psalm 145. I love this psalm. It just sets a scene, and helps to bring our focus. So listen to these words, and then we'll pray on the back of that. I will exalt you. my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness, and they will sing with joy about your righteousness. And that's what we're about. So let's pray. So Lord, may that be our hearts this morning, wherever we are, however we're feeling, whether we're feeling down in the dumps, it's a struggle this morning, or whether we're feeling on the mountaintop and buzzing with life. Lord, wherever we are in between, help us to focus upon you, and help us, Lord, to allow our spirits to recognize all the good things you have done and the blessings you have given and brought to each and every one of us. So, Lord, as we spend this time together, virtually and by electronics, but, Lord, thank you that we can. And I pray that, Lord, you'd use it to stir our spirits and speak to us, Lord, and to make us grateful and give thanks for all that you are and all that you've done for us. So we commit this time to you and each other to you in that lovely and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, just a few announcements, if I could. You're blessed this morning. You really are blessed this morning. And you can give thanks for this, because we've got a visitor amongst us this morning who's going to bring God's word. And that's James Davis. And he's sitting just over there. So it's great to have him with us this morning. So welcome, James. It's good to have you here. A bit later this week, we have our prayer time. It's always good to gather to pray. And so on Wednesday, it will be our prayer time. And if you are not a usual member and you'd like to be a part of that, leave a note in the comments and we'll make sure that the link for the Zoom, which we do that prayer time on, will be sent to you. And of course, after the service today, we also have our coffee time and that opportunity as well for some prayer and ministry if we need it. But let's use all these opportunities where we get them. So now I'm going to hand over to our friend Rich, but he's in a virtual situation. And I think he's got a real treat here this morning and a new friend, I think. Over to you, Rich. Thanks.
Hello, everybody. My name is Richard Doherty. I'm the youth minister here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And today I brought my friend Bob to help us learn something about the Bible. Now, Bob is a very rare, very beautiful black one-eyed octopus that I found swimming around in Swanage Bay, and I've made this special tank for him to live in, and I've been teaching him to do some tricks because Bob is an incredibly obedient octopus. Okay, so if I tell Bob that I want him to float down to the middle here, I said float down, Bob, then you'll find that Bob will swim down to the middle of this bottle and he'll say hello to everyone. There he is. What a beautiful creature. If I say, Bob, I want you to come down the bottom of the tank, then look, down he comes, absolutely beautiful. And if I say, Bob, come back up the top again, you'll see that he swims right back up to the top. Oh, hello, he's looking at me now. Okay, that's not very good for everyone else. We'll see if we can spin him round so that he says hello to everybody else again. Now, I've taught Bob to follow my finger, so I'm going to get him to watch my finger. That's it. And he's going to swim down right to the bottom. And he's going to follow my finger up to the middle. Very good, Bob. All the way to the top. And Bob is such an obedient octopus. Octopi are really clever creatures. So if I say to Bob, stay at the top, he'll stay at the top. And he'll stay there all day until I tell him to come to the bottom again. Because he's such a good... Oh. Now, let's try that again. If I tell Bob to stay in the middle, okay, not to go to the top or the bottom, then he'll stay there because he's such a good sorry about that. If I tell Bob to stay at the top, then because he's such a clever octopus and really obedient, he's going to stay there until I tell him to... Oh, he's done it again. Okay, I'll tell Bob to stay at the bottom, and he... Boys and girls, maybe Bob isn't as an obedient octopus as I thought. In the Bible today with James, we're going to be looking at two very different people. One is a king called Zedekiah. One is a prophet called Jeremiah. A prophet, that's someone who hears from God and tells people what he's saying. And a king is someone who's supposed to look after everyone and do the best job that they can do. Now, Jeremiah wasn't like my octopus. He always listened to God. He always did what he was asked, even if it would get him in trouble sometimes. Jeremiah wasn't always very popular because he told people what God really thought and how God really wanted us to live. King Zedekiah was like naughty Bob here. He wanted to know what God wanted him to do, but when he heard it, he quite often did the opposite. Like when I tell Bob to stay at the top, and he swims right down to the bottom, King Zedekiah wouldn't listen to God, and that didn't make him a very good king. We've been singing a song each week called I Am a Friend of God, and being friends with God means we need to listen to him. It means we have to care about what he thinks. It means that we should try and live in a way that makes our friend God really happy. Not like my silly octopus Bob here, who doesn't really do as he's asked and isn't the best pet I've ever had. I'm going to hand over to my friend Adam, and later with James we'll be thinking more about Zedekiah and Jeremiah.
Who am I? You are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. God, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. Whoa, I am a friend of God. Thank you.
I love that song. I hope you were doing the uh-oh-oh. Yeah, I'm pretty good, you know. I can do it. Well, talking of friends, we thought it would be really, really good today to have an update from our friends who work for The Wave, Children's Ministry, which we have here in the town. And so we've asked them, and they've done some little video sort of updates for us, and they've put them together. So let's welcome our friends, which is Rob, Berno, Hannah, and Rich. Thanks.
Hello. Well, Wave Kids has been busy since the first lockdown, keeping in touch with the families, children, and schools that we work with. Every Wednesday morning, we've been running Notelets over Zoom. Notelets is our singing toddler group, and we've seen lots of families join us, singing along to nursery rhymes and dancing around their living rooms. We've also been going into St. Mary's Primary School as well and doing some reading with the children, but also some one-on-one work with those who need additional support, talking with them and playing games with them. We've also been making lots of video assemblies, which have gone to three of the local primary schools, and both the teachers and pupils have come and told us how much they enjoy watching them. We've also been able to send these videos around to the families that we have contact with, so that we're still sharing the good news of Jesus with the children of Swanage. So we'd really appreciate your prayers for Notelets on a Wednesday morning, for the assemblies that we're doing, that they'll still speak to the children, and for our work working one-on-one with children at St. Mary's School, that the Holy Spirit will speak through us and that they'll see the Holy Spirit is inside of us. And now I'm going to hand you over to Berno, who's going to tell you a bit more about what Wave Youth are up to.
Hi everyone, Berno here, and over at the Wave Youth side of things, we've had to change some of the things we do and find creative ways in how we can engage with the young people. And one of the ways we're doing that is by playing games. We found that actually one of the games that a lot of these young people grow up with, and you might probably be familiar with that as well, is Minecraft. And we've decided we're going to set up a server and find a way to engage with the young people through that. And surprisingly, most of the young people that we've encountered on here or who's joined us on our server are actually in sick form or college. And so it's been a really nice way to interact with these young people who we've not seen in quite a while. And also we've not been able to catch up with them because of everything that's been going on. So this is really, really nice way to see those who used to be part of our groups and even some of the ones we see at the skate park actually. And yeah, we get to build stuff, make secret tunnels, mine. If you're not familiar with Minecraft, it is a blocky world and some people don't see the appeal in it, but actually it is a lot of fun. And we get to do this with the young people, and so it's such an informal way to engage with them and to have some really good conversations with them about stuff. And in a non-serious setting like this, where you get to build stuff and fight zombies and be careful of creepers who might explode. Anyway, so that's one of the new things we're up to. But over to you, Hannah, who's going to share with us what's happening at school.
So as of September, my role has changed and I am now working full-time as the Wave's schools worker, which has been very strange to start such a new role in the middle of a global pandemic. But for the autumn term, I was able to be in the schools every day mentoring the students. And during January, I have been doing something very different, still in the schools, but I've been helping with the COVID tests at the Swanage School, which will probably continue for the foreseeable. Thankfully, I've been able to do a little bit of mentoring with the few students that they have in, and they are immensely grateful for our help, both staff and students. And as of next week, Rich and Berno will also be able to come into the school to help with the mentoring too, which will be really, really good. So prayers for safety and protection, as well as prayers for opportunities to share our faith with the staff and students, would be much, much appreciated. Yeah, thank you. Over to Rich.
Well, as you can see, EBC looks quite different at the moment. This is the room I'd normally run Remix in, and that's been on hiatus for nearly a year now. But one of the groups we've been able to continue with is Rooted, our young people's Bible study. We can't get together and eat pizza, but through Zoom, on our phones, our tablets or our computers, we've been able to get together on Thursday nights to worship, sing some songs, play some games, and explore some of the great questions our young people have. Questions like, would Jesus use Facebook? If you die when you're really old, do you go to heaven like that, or does God make you younger? What would Jesus think about people like Hitler? And how old do I have to be before I can get baptized? And other great questions too. We really ask you to pray for our young people at the moment. There are lots of people we've not been able to see for nearly a year now, who are really starting to explore the Christian faith. Others are living in home situations where they're maybe not as safe as they could be and aren't able to go to school, which is a normal escape for them. Others still are concerned about their future, worried that their exams will be cancelled, they'll be given the wrong grades or grades that they don't think are fair, or are concerned about university and elsewhere. Others still just really miss being able to get together with their friends, to come to places like this, to come to the groups that we normally run, or to come to church and go to a group which is more suited for them. We'd really invite you to pray now as Mark leads us. Over to you, Mark.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys. That was a really, really helpful update, because we have realised that things have changed for you. And there was quite a few prayer points there, folks. We are going to pray in a moment, but it might be something which you can use. You could spin back the video a bit later and use that even throughout this week or the next few weeks, and be able to pray for the wave, covering some of those specific points. But it'd be really good for us to pray now. So let's bring these young people, and more particularly the wave, to the Lord. Let's pray. So, Father God, we come and we stand in the gap before you. On behalf of all these children and young people and their families at this difficult time. Lord, we lift each unique and special younger person to you. Lord, we pray that you'll be real to them and you'll bless them with your love at this difficult time. We pray for their families. We pray for their schools and their teachers, who are all having to learn new and different ways of learning, creating pressures and tensions at home and on relationships and even in schools. Lord, bring your peace, we pray, and your presence into those situations and upon all those who are involved. And Lord, we also pray for your help for those who are struggling, those younger people, those children who are struggling with things at home, with not being able to see their friends or to get out to do things as they would normally do. For those who are anxious about exams and their school and their futures. And for those who are searching for a purpose and for meaning, being knocked sideways by this whole pandemic and their change to life. Lord, meet these needs, we ask. And we pray that their hearts, the hearts and the minds of these younger people, these children, will be healthy and good, knowing the joy and the fun of life. Lord, protect them. Protect their minds from unhelpful influences and forces. And keep them safe, Lord, on every level, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and relationally, we pray. And Lord, we do thank you for the wave here in town. For Rich, for Berno, for Hannah, and for Rob, and the other volunteers who usually work and support each activity. And Lord, we pray for all the work which they do with and for children and young people in our area. Even in these strange, strange days when things are so different. Lord, keep your hand on them too. And give them wisdom and insight and creative ways into how to care and help and engage these young people and these children that they're working with. So, God, have mercy, we pray. minister into these important young lives by your Holy Spirit. May they find the light of your presence in these dark days. And may they come through stronger and enlightened as people as a result, being able to live full life, full to the brim as you planned it to be. So, Lord, we bring all of these prayers and many more, and we ask that you would step in and intervene, because we ask it in and through your powerful and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So let's keep praying and continue to lift the wave, and young people and children in particular, to God. We're now going to move back into our worship. So over to you, Adam. Thank you.
You see, you're everything I hoped for, you're everything I need. You are so beautiful to me. Such joy and happiness, you bring such joy and happiness, you bring like a dream. Guiding light that shines in the night, heaven's gift to me. You are so beautiful to me. Of my heart, let your mercy and strength be seen. You call me to your purpose, as angels understand. For your glory, may you draw all men, as your love and grace demands, and I will run to your words of truth, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Yes, I will run the race till I see your face. Oh, let me live in the glory of your grace. Your eye is on the sparrow. Your hand, it comforts me. From the ends of the earth to the depths of my heart, let your mercy and strength be seen. You call me to your purpose, as angels understand. For your glory, may you draw all men, as your love and grace demands. And I will run to you, to your words of truth, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Yes, I will run the race till I see your face. Oh, let me live in the glory of your grace. Oh, let me live in the glory. Oh, let me live in the glory. Oh, let me live in the glory of your grace.
Yeah, it's good to be in worship, isn't it? And lovely. So thank you, Adam, for those. As I said at the beginning, it's really great we've got James with us, and he's going to lead us into another message from lockdown. And we're going to have that, the passage which he's going to be using, read to us by Berno from The Wave, who we saw a few minutes ago. So thanks, Berno, and thank you, James.
Today's reading is from Jeremiah 37, verse 11 to 21. It is about Jeremiah's imprisonment. When the Babylonian army left Jerusalem because of Pharaoh's approaching army, Jeremiah started to leave the city on his way to the territory of Benjamin to claim his share of the property among his relatives there. But as he was walking through the Benjamin gate, a sentry arrested him and said, "You are defecting to the Babylonians." The sentry making the arrest was Urijah, son of Shelemiah, grandson of Hananiah. "That's not true," Jeremiah protested. "I had no intention of doing any such thing." But Urijah wouldn't listen, and he took Jeremiah before the officials. They were furious with Jeremiah and had him flogged and imprisoned in the house of Jonathan the secretary. Jonathan's house had been converted into a prison. Jeremiah was put into a dungeon cell where he remained for many days. Later, King Zedekiah secretly requested that Jeremiah came to the palace, where the king asked him, "Do you have any messages from the Lord?" "Yes, I do," said Jeremiah. "You will be defeated by the king of Babylon." Then Jeremiah asked the king, "What crime have I committed? What have I done against you, your attendants, or the people that I should be imprisoned like this? Where are your prophets now who told you the king of Babylon would not attack you or this land? Listen, my lord the king, I beg you, don't send me back to the dungeon in the house of Jonathan the secretary, for I will die there." So King Zedekiah commanded that Jeremiah not be returned to the dungeon. Instead, he was imprisoned in the courtyard of the guard in the royal palace. The king also commanded that Jeremiah be given a loaf of fresh bread every day, as long as there was any left in the city. So Jeremiah was put in the palace prison.
Thank you, Mark, for inviting me to speak this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we only learn anything about you if you are our teacher. So please help us by your Spirit now to learn from you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've brought with me this morning a box. It's here, down here. It's a wooden box. If you're watching on the, if you're not watching, but you're listening on the phone, it's just an ordinary wooden box. And in this box, this is where I keep God. I keep God in here. He comes out Sunday mornings, comes out for life group, comes out when I'm in trouble or when I'm ill. And at other times, I put him back on the shelf. He doesn't come with me to work. He doesn't come with me to the pub or to when I'm playing sports or anywhere else. Some groups of friends he comes out for, and some he doesn't. Back on the shelf. Now, you may say, James, that's a most ridiculous illustration. And, well, perhaps it is. We'll see. We'll come back to it in a bit. What I want us to do is we're looking at this story of Jeremiah, and we're going to start with a little bit of historical background. Could that please be on the full screen? Thank you. Because otherwise the writing is a little bit too small to see. You've got Jeremiah and Zedekiah are in Jerusalem. A lot of the people have been deported some years before to Babylon. Top right-hand corner. And if you were listening in last week, Mark spoke about the promise of God to those who were in Babylon. And it was quite a strange thing because God was saying it that his presence was going to be in Babylon rather than in Jerusalem. That's where his blessing was going to be. That's where he was going to do his work of restoring the people. And the guys who were left in Jerusalem didn't much like that, but that was what Jeremiah was saying was God's plan. And Zedekiah then rebelled against Babylon. Not only Zedekiah, but some of the other nations around did as well. So the Babylonians came and they surrounded Jerusalem with their army. And Jeremiah's voice was to say, you need to surrender to the Babylonians. That's the only way that you're going to get out of this hole. You're not going to succeed in this rebellion. Jeremiah was very unpopular for saying that, and consequently he was put into prison. So double lockdown. The whole of Jerusalem was in lockdown because it was surrounded by the Babylonians. And Jeremiah was in particular in prison, and from the reading that Bernard gave to us, because he was imprisoned within Jerusalem. Nobody likes somebody who is undermining the morale of his people. But of course, the people who were in Jerusalem thought that Jeremiah was completely wrong. They looked back to their history. There had been times in the past, there was in the times of the Exodus, in the times of Elisha, in the time of Hezekiah, only 130 years before, when Jerusalem or God's people had been surrounded by enemies, and they had been saved miraculously at the last moment by some kind of escape. That's the way God behaves. That's what God is going to do again. And besides, we've got a special weapon because the Egyptian army is on the march coming to our rescue. So we're going to be fine. We are not going to listen to what Jeremiah is saying. Now, that's the historic background. If you look carefully at that, there is a pattern, a biblical pattern there. Humanity is often in a mess. And there is a solution that we've put in the place of Babylon. God says, this is the way to go. This is the solution that I'm providing for you. And yet we prefer to look in the opposite direction. We think we've got the answers. We're going to go for the options that we prefer to go to. They're going to be better than God's solutions. And we end up usually in a bigger mess than we were to begin with. Just at the moment, we've got the same sort of pattern. We've got the whole of humanity in lockdown at the moment because of the virus that surrounds us. Science is the answer, isn't it? Well, science provides some of the answers. Science is providing a vaccine that's going to get us out of the immediate hole. But I don't know if you've noticed the longing that there is among so many people. When this virus is defeated, when we get back to normality, we don't want to go back to where we were. We like this new pattern of working, the new freedom that that gives. We've liked the way in which communities have been building together and helping each other with kindness. Can't we hardwire that into a new and better society? Well, the answer is that science does not have the way to do that. Science may have answers for climate change, for the reduction of child poverty, for the reduction of the inequalities that there are in society. But the problem is that science doesn't have the answer to my selfishness and to yours. And they're the things that get in the way of the better society that God wants us to lead in. It's only as we come to him that we are going to be able to get further. Perhaps the screen can go back to the corner. And we're going to come back to the story. We have here Jeremiah in prison, and Zedekiah arranges a private meeting. And we could learn a lot from Jeremiah in that meeting. Jeremiah shows us that some people, both then and today, because they faithfully follow God, because they're faithfully obedient to him, it means persecution. For Jeremiah, it meant lockdown within the lockdown. For some today, it can mean death. But actually, I don't want to look at Jeremiah mostly today. I want to look at Zedekiah, a bit like Richard's octopus. Do you know, somebody once, when I was a much younger Christian, an old and wise person, came up to me and looked at me and he said, "James, have you got just enough of Jesus Christ to make you miserable?" And regardless of whether that was a correct comment, correct question to ask me, it sums up a little bit of where Zedekiah was. You see, Zedekiah is not an atheist. Zedekiah is not a scoffer. The story is much more tragic than that. You see, he's somebody who knows where to find God's truth. He's asked, if you happen to have the passage in front of you, if you go back to verse 4 of the same chapter, before the bit that Bruno led to us, he's somebody who's asked Jeremiah to pray for him. He's somebody in New Testament terms who has the gift of discernment. He knows how to distinguish the false prophets from the true. He wants to hear God's truth. That's why he asks Jeremiah to come. He calls Jeremiah to him in order to hear God's truth. And he hears God's truth. And the moment he does so, he puts God's truth back into the box. He does not want to obey it, to follow it. Suppose, just as an example, suppose your relationship with somebody has got a bit strained. And as you've prayed about it, you've realised that actually you need to go and apologise to that person. I'm blowed if I'm going to apologise to them. He wronged me first. He's the one who ought to apologise to me. Have you ever done that? You've heard God's word and you've put it back in its box. Or you're somebody who's fairly new to Christian things. You're not sure that you're following Christ at all yet. You're weighing up whether to follow this insistent voice that you're hearing that is both so attractive and so dangerous as you read the gospel and hear about Jesus. Do you follow or don't you? Do you let God's word have its way and power, or do you try to put it back into the box? Or perhaps you're a mature Christian of many years standing. You're the sort of person who your Bible study group, your life group, turns to when there's a difficulty in the passage that you're studying. And one thing you've discovered is how to domesticate Scripture so that it no longer is that living and active thing like a two-edged sword that the book of Hebrews says it is supposed to be. There's a wonderful description in a book by J.B. Phillips. He's somebody who spent a lot of his life translating bits of the Bible, translated the whole of the New Testament. And he wrote up his own autobiography later. And he said, translating the New Testament, it was like rewiring the house without switching the mains off. It was so powerful. It was so electric in all that it did. Now, earlier on, I described Jeremiah as being doubly locked down. He's there, so I put him in an extra sort of prison cell within the lockdown that is the whole of Jerusalem. But you see, Zedekiah couldn't put God's word back in the box. God's word was out there. It was powerful. And no more can you or I do that. When Zedekiah tried to do that, in effect, what he was doing was putting himself into the box. And Jeremiah was in a sense free because he was free in the obedience to God that he had. That's in a sense the message that I think the challenge that this story of Zedekiah has for us today. Where do we stand when we hear God's word? Are we somebody who lets it control us? Or are we somebody who tries to control it because it's more comfortable, it's easier that way? But that way is to put ourselves into the box. It's to lock ourselves down, to imprison us rather than giving us the freedom that is the rightful inheritance of everybody who follows Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that you do give your word to people. Thank you that in all sorts of ways, through the scriptures, through the person and stories about Jesus, through the times when we pray to you, through each other, we know that you sometimes, that you often speak to us. We pray that you would give us hearts that are free from lockdown, free to hear you, and then to obey you, to do what you say. Help us, Lord, particularly if there is something that you've been saying to us in the past week that's been challenging us as we've spoken this morning. Help us to put into practice the things that you tell us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to turn to our final song. It's Great Is Your Faithfulness, sung to a tune that I think is unfamiliar to me. It's not the best known, but Adam told me that that we have sung it before. And it's a great song because it's written, or those key words, Great Is Your Faithfulness, come from the words of Jeremiah in the Book of Lamentations. Let's sing.
Great your faithfulness, O God my Father, O God my friend, your love it never fades, and so I love you until the end. When shadows fall, you never change. From age to age, you never change. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. Through the years, you've always been there. Great is your love for us, your love for us. Through the years, you've always been there. Dwelling place, your presence like a fire. Hope for tomorrow, strength for today. When shadows fall, you never change. From age to age, you never change. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. Through the years you've always been there. Great is your love for us, your love for us. Through the years you've always been there. On your promises, we are strong because our hope is in you. We will run, we will run, we belong, we belong, we belong to you. To you, we will stand upon your promises. We are strong because our hope is in you. We will run, we belong, we belong, we belong to you, to you. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. Through the years you've always been there. Great is your love for us, your love for us. Through the years you've always been there.
that box to do that stuff, then we need to work it through. And again, I just remind you that we do have that opportunity for prayer and ministry during the coffee time. If you want to engage with that, you could always talk to your life group leader, or you could email either James or myself. But one way or the other, let's do the journey, and let's allow God to speak and to do what he needs to do with us. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I pray that God will bless you throughout this next week. And we've got a treat next week too. Yeah, I know, 2 weeks running. It's amazing stuff, isn't it? But what's really nice, having somebody else here means that we can do our grace, our blessing live. So James is going to do that for us now. Thanks for joining us.
We're going to say the grace together. May I encourage you, even if you're watching entirely on your own, to say this aloud as a prayer for everyone else who's also watching. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.